Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I bring with me, of course, the love and greetings of all those in the Hamilton Ecclesia and from Otrahonga and towards Auckland and Cambridge and the Haupo and everywhere around.
Starting to sound like the Brown thing.
It's good to be here too, because the Hamilton Ecclesia is benefiting from me being here, because otherwise I'd be presiding, so they've got someone much better for doing that job as well. So Romans chapter 3 was, I think, a good passage to lead into my thoughts this morning. I'm going to start off by being quite depressing, and it'll get better shortly after that. It's easy for me to think, does God really want me? Could God possibly be looking down on me right now, thinking, I want that guy? Why would God want me? What could I possibly do for him that could be worth anything to him? I often don't even have time for him, it feels. I get up early in the morning, I rush off to work, I work all day, I stop for tea, I work some more, I put the kids to bed, I work some more, I go to bed, and that's it. Once every 2 months I might scribble down an exhort for the Ecclesia, but sometimes it feels like that's pretty much it. It can feel like God has taken second place in my life. I feel too busy for him. There's so many important things to do. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? Well, actually, it's worse. It's much worse. I know what God wants from me, but so often I don't do it. Well, why on earth not? Because I'm too busy. That's my favourite excuse. Usually it's true. But why else? Well, sometimes it's too hard. And I could think of many more reasons, but to be honest, sometimes I don't want to do what God wants me to. Now that sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, it's even worse than that. There are many things that I know God wants me to do that I don't do. Just like there are so many things that God doesn't want me to do that I do do. Sometimes I do things that I know are wrong. And why on earth would I do that? All the excuses aside, the cold hard truth, because I want to. If I really want to do something I know God doesn't want me to, I can ignore what God wants and I can do what I want. And I can do that over and over again. And then I have the cheek to come here on Sunday and pretend that I'm a good little follower of God who does everything right. Now, does that sound bad? What a hypocrite. You see, the thing is, I reckon I can probably fool you lot pretty easily, but I can't fool God. That's a scary thought. And you know what my other problem is, while we're talking about my problems? It doesn't matter how hard I try, I just don't seem to get any better. There's this part of me that always wants to do what is wrong. And no matter how hard I try, I just can't change that. Why am I like this? I really wish I wasn't, but I am. And sometimes I get really angry with myself over that. I can get to the point where I feel like I'm a complete failure. I am so hopeless, I might as well just give up trying. What is the point in trying when I just keep on failing all the time? Did that work? Are you guys depressed now?
No.
Oh, all right then.
We're waiting for the good bit.
Now, I can feel like that way sometimes or often. And I reckon a good thing to do is to open your Bible to the book of Romans and read from chapter 1 to chapter 9. They're 9 short chapters. It doesn't take very long. And it's written by Paul the Apostle, and he describes himself feeling exactly the same way that I just described. It's a really good thing to read in one go. A quote from Romans chapter 7, from verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." It's like he's describing me. This is my own very personal, private problem that I keep hidden away from everybody else so well. But the person here who was writing, this is the great Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul who is worthy of all our respect. And he had exactly the same problem that I do with his own human nature and his own sinfulness. Now, why was Paul like that? Because we're all the same, of course. We all have that problem. We all have this sinful nature inside us that we struggle to control and we can't control. Now, the Apostle Paul goes one step further in describing his problem. He describes it like a war. Romans chapter 7, from verse 22, Paul says, "In my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" It's like Paul saying, "Please help me, make it stop." There's a war going on inside me. My mind delights in God's law, but my human nature is waging war against me and making me do wrong. Because part of me really wants to do what is right, but the other part really wants to do what is wrong. And this goes on and on every day. And it's a war that I can't win. I have to keep fighting all the time, and it's exhausting. But if you're getting dragged down by this and you're getting tired and exhausted and it seems so hard, remember, Paul the Apostle didn't win his war either. So, I think the most important point so far is that I can't win this. No matter how hard or how long I fight, I can't win this war by myself. but I can lose it very easily. And what I mean is this. If I keep on trying, I won't necessarily win, but I also won't lose. It would be so easy just to give up, wouldn't it? And stop fighting. And the moment I stop fighting, I will lose the war. Romans 6, verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so you obey its evil desires. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. So that's what this war inside me is about. Who will be my master? And of course, if two countries are at war, and one side just gives up and stops fighting, what happens? The country that gives up is completely taken over and controlled by their enemy. It's the same with us. We need to keep up the fight and not give up. We won't ever really win, but we must keep on fighting, because the only alternative to keeping up the fight is to give up, stop fighting, and let our human nature take us over completely. And that would be to let sin become our master. So, the most important point so far is that no matter how hard we try, we can't overcome our sinful nature. We can't stop sinning, just like the Apostle Paul couldn't. But that's actually not really what it's all about. What is it about? Well, the most important thing for all of us is that our mind is in the right place. That we really want to be just like God wants us to be, like our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not that way, but we really wish we were, don't we? Paul says in Romans 7:22, "In my inner being, I delight in God's law." So in spite of all the struggles that Paul had in his life with sin, the fact that he continually did things that he knew were wrong, deep down inside him, his delight was God's law. Now this might sound like a bad thing to say, but just bear with me. The fact that I have a sinful nature that makes me sin is not the end of the world. Every single human being has a sinful nature. This is the way that God made us. What really matters for me is what is in my mind. What's going on up here? And I'll prove that to you. Romans 7, verse 25. Paul says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." I can't help the fact that my sinful nature is a slave to sin. But I decide whether my mind is a slave to sin or a slave to God's law. That is my choice to make. Of course, the law of Moses back in the Old Testament days couldn't save anyone. Why not? Because it was all about keeping the rules and doing everything right. Unfortunately, nobody can do that. Nobody could follow the law without breaking it, because they all have the same problem that we do. And here's the fix for for the problem. Romans 8, verse 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order, here's the really good part, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. That is our shining beacon of hope. The Lord Jesus Christ was our sin offering. This is our way out. This is how we are saved. But this is not for everyone. I only read the first half of verse 4. Let's read the rest of it. It says, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. What does that mean? How do I know if I am living according to the sinful nature or according to the Spirit? That must be a very important thing to know. Luckily, the answer is in the next verse, Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now that is the most important thing I have said all morning. If you live according to the Spirit and not according to the sinful nature, you will be saved. How do you know if you are or not? By what your mind is set on. And what your mind is set on, it's really up to each one of us. The Apostle Paul said he continually sinned and did wrong. But as I said before, he says in verse 22 of chapter 7, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Yes, we all have a sinful human nature. And no, we can't change that part of us. No matter how hard we try, it's always there, just waiting to ensnare us and trip us up again. But there's one thing that we can do, and that is to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Set our minds on the things of God. What is it that you want to achieve in life? What do I want to achieve in life? Do I just want to sin more and more against God? Is that what I'm here to do? Is that my aim and my goal? Or do I really want to be like Jesus? What do you really want to be? Who do you really want to be? What is your mind set on? It's not about putting on a good look, a good front to look good for everyone. Like I said before, I might be able to fool you lot, but I most certainly can't fool God. He knows exactly what I'm really like. He knows who I am and who I really want to be. It's not about saying the right words from the platform or anywhere else. It's about what my mind is truly set on. And it's not like just because you want to be a Christ-like person that you sort of earn the right by really wanting to be there. This is purely a gift from God for all those, for everyone whose mind is set on what the Spirit desires. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So in summary, this is in a nutshell what I'm really trying to say this morning. Don't give up because you don't feel good enough. Nobody is. Even the great Apostle Paul kept on sinning and doing wrong all his life. He tells us that he wanted to stop, but he couldn't. So realize that we don't have to become perfect for God to love us and save us, because no human being has ever done that except for Jesus. We just have to really want to be. We have to keep up the fight against our human nature and not give up. God doesn't expect perfection from us, but he wants us to keep on trying. And if we really want to be like Jesus one day, if that is our goal and our aim and who we really are trying to be, then we will do the best that we can now. In spite of our continual failings, we will keep trying. Now, I really do recommend sitting down and reading Romans chapter 1 to 9, all in one go. It is really, really enlightening. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is the battle for our minds. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if you haven't realized it yet, we have got it made. Romans 8, verse 34, to conclude. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Thank you.